Welcome to the Access Church Podcast and our Sermon of the Week. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message is an encouragement and a blessing to your life.
If you have your Bibles, you can pull them out. And we are in a series over the next several weeks on the subject of marriage. And everybody say, uh-oh. No. Last week, if you weren't here, I shared with you that I believe that God's power is available to you and I as a Christian. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship, right? And when you and I place our faith in Christ, His Spirit takes up residence within us. Because of His Spirit that's at work in our lives, Jesus enables us to be a good husband. He enables you to be a good wife. I want to continue to have powerful encounters with the Holy Spirit as we gather for prayer and in worship and all of those things. But those are to transition into your relationships. Amen? It's to transition into the home. It's to transition into our marriages. And so last week, by way of introduction, I shared with you that I believe that the Holy Spirit in us gives us the power to fathom our spouse's differences, right? Because we are different than our spouse, right? It gives us the power to fulfill their needs, and then it gives us the power to forgive their mistakes, okay? Next week, I'm going to share with you how I believe you can affair-proof your marriage. And based on what God's word says, how do you affair-proof your marriage? Nobody wakes up one day and says, hey, today's the day to have an affair, right? I mean, it's not a spiritual blowout. It's the tolerance of a leak over time. And there are things that you can do on the front end to affair-proof your marriage. And so we'll dive into that. But today we're going to be talking about maintaining peace in your home. Okay, the world is what the world is. Our country is kind of what it is. But our homes are not to be places that are filled with chaos, confusion, emotion, divisiveness. And how do we maintain peace in the home? How do we handle conflict? Now, many of you, that you're struggling in your relationship with your spouse, and the reality is there's always hope in Jesus, right? And so you may not describe your home as a peaceful environment, but by God's grace, it can be and should be a peaceful environment. You are going to have differences. There will be things that you need to work through. I shared with Ashley the other day, I said, I'm speaking on Sunday about conflict. I said, we need a good fight this week as an example. But unfortunately, I hate to ruin your day. I got nothing, okay? You know, your life should not be filled with absolute chaos, confusion, fighting, and turmoil. But the reality is there's going to be conflict. And I want to illustrate it in various ways today and then talk to you about how do we handle it based on what the Bible says. Because you're going to have conflict in your marriage. You're going to have conflict in your relationships. You're going to have conflict in work. And so this will apply in many areas. Someone once said that stage one of marriage is the honeymoon stage, right? Stage two of marriage is the party's over. Stage three is kind of like the game, let's make a deal. Now, I've encouraged you to not look around during this series. Just look at me. Just look at me, okay? If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 4, verse 1. James is an incredible portion of scripture that's very practical. James 4 verse 1 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? And so there are going to be fights. There are going to be quarrels in relationships. And I'm not going to try to normalize it, but Access is a real church. So we have to talk about real life. And there are things that we disagree about in our relationships, but you don't have to be a disagreeable person. And so it says in life, there are fights. Everybody say fights. Now these are kind of like battles with weapons, right? Think armed conflict. It's used figuratively to speak of struggle between powers, both earthly and spiritual. But it also talks about quarrels or fighting, which is a little bit different. That's done without weapons. It's typically personal conflicts that many times involve words. And it says that these things that happen in our relationships are many times not by some external source that's out there. It's connected to the desires or the cravings or the pleasures that we have in our lives. Now, there are good godly desires, amen? There are good godly desires. There are physical things that you would desire. At some point in your relationship with your spouse, there was a desire there, right? You saw her and something stood out about her that didn't stand out about everyone else. Likewise, at one point you looked at that guy and thought, you know what? Man, there's something about, there's this physical attraction or there's this desire. And we'll get to that in a couple weeks and that'll be PG-13 edging on the R-rated side. So you won't have your kids here that day. But we'll get there in a couple weeks and it'll be a good time. And it's the perfect week for something to get taken out of context online. But by God's grace, he will help us, okay? So there are good godly desires. There's emotional desires and needs that we have, right? But there are also unhealthy desires as well. When you come into relationship with Jesus, your sins are washed by the blood of Jesus, right? But he's also transforming us. He's taking that person that at once was incredibly selfish, and he's refining and he's shaping and he's trying to get us to die to I, right? And I wish that hope happened overnight and continued until Jesus comes. But the reality is at times we find ourselves to be kind of selfish at times, right? What's best for us? What's best for me? And so the words here in James talk about these desires that we have. And conflict and strife come from time to time because we have various desires that are differing in the relationship, okay? And you can boil this all the way down to practical things, like we live in a world of adjustable beds. Because one person has a desire and the other has a desire, and for some reason we became so intelligent that we can't just have one mattress, we need to have two mattresses that work together to appease the desires of both people, right? You get in the car and you've got seat warmers on either side of the vehicle, right? And one of them typically is on, the other's off. And at times the air conditioning's on one side and the heat is on the other. There are conflicting desires. Can we just acknowledge that in relationships? Can we acknowledge that at some point you were sitting down at the living room with your spouse and family and thought, I wish this TV came with two remotes. Because I'm not digging the Hallmark Channel right now, right? And she's not interested in football, right? We have conflicting desires. We live in a world with dual controls. And all of a sudden in a marriage, ba-boom, conflict arises. And the Bible says that the desire to have it my way is going to cause conflict in the relationship as we're all growing in our relationship with Christ, and we're dying to what I desire. And by God's grace, he's enabling us to live in this amazing experiment that God designed called marriage. All right? Now, I want to kind of describe to you some of the reactions to conflict. And I'm going to do this in a way that might be a little extreme, but I want to try to get you to think about this, some of the reactions to conflict. And then what I want to do today is share how do you work through conflict, not how to avoid it, but how do you work through it, okay? But before we get there, what are some of the reactions when there's conflict in the relationship? Now, the first one I would describe is the reaction to conflict like this. What does this knife describe? This describes in the context of relationship, my way. Everybody say, my way. This is the fight that arises, the conflict, the disagreement, whatever you want to color code it with, wording wise, this is the type of person that I'm going to have it my way 100% of the time because I'm right all of the time and you live in a world where I is at the center, right? And so you want to have it my way. Say my way. And so when conflict shows up in the home, all of a sudden it's my way and you better follow my way. Now you put two my way people together, all of a sudden you have the show cops, right? You have two people fighting with each other. You want it my way all of the time, and you'll lose in the moment, right? Or you'll allow them, you may win in the moment, but you'll lose the relationship. But there are many people that are my way type of people. On the opposite end of this spectrum, I would describe it this way. I would say these are the no way type of people. You're the type of person, what's a zip tie? You put a zip tie around something that you want to tighten, and eventually it's never going to get loose, right? And so you put a zip tie around something. And there are people in relationships that, for whatever reason, you're not going to fight to the death and be right all of the time. You're on the opposite end of the spectrum. And for the sake of peace, you give in 100% at a time. And instead of working something out or even potentially being right in a disagreement, you've chosen peace over working it out to the extent that the reality is you would be really honest today and you'd say, you know what, I avoid it, I choose peace for the sake of whatever, but my relationship to some degree feels like it's zip tied. There's gonna be a disagreement that comes and you know what, it is what it is, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt again, but you feel like you're suffocating. And so it's not my way, it's no way, I'm just gonna kind of be trapped in the relationship. Never really going to address the issues. Now, the other is a little bit more subtle. It's not my way. It's not no way. It's your way. Now, I want to describe it to you this way. It's your way. This is the type of person that's a little dangerous. This is a boxing glove that's signed by Muhammad Ali, who once said this. He said, "Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee." And so it's not always going to be my way. But this is the type of person that's like real casual in the relationship, right? It's not even going to be no way. It's going to be your way. They're going to dance around the issues at times, but they're ready for the sucker punch, right? And so they're not like the knife type of person that's like, I'm going to have it my way 100% at a time. It's not the person that feels maybe even controlled, and they've conceded so many times, but this is the type of person that you're kind of dancing around the issue, but you're ready to sting like a bee. You just need the moment. You're like, okay, let's just talk this through. Let's just talk it through. Da-dun! You want the jab, right? And so that's one perspective, right? The other is a little bit different, and I would describe it to you this way. This is a scorecard. And so this is kind of like, you're the type of person that's like, you know what, it's not my way, it's not our way, it's not your way. This is the kind of like halfway person. You're like, I know love keeps no record of wrongs, but I do. She won last month, we were talking about the vacation, and I conceded there. I wanted this, so I conceded there. 2-3, 3. This time, I might as well just go here. Okay, honey, you're right. You're right. And in the back of your mind, like, I'm going to be right next time. And so you have this, like, scorecard, right? And so you're thinking about it this way. Now, what I want you to see, and we need God's grace to do, is not see it any of these three ways. But I want you to see it as our way. Everybody say our way. Mutual understanding. Mutual decision, mutual goals. If you're going to have a marriage that lasts, you can't be the type of person that's like, you know what, I'll just dance around the issue, and when it comes, boom, I know what's going to... You can't be the type of person that's going to live and die by the knife, like, ah, I'm right all the time. You can't be the type of person that passively sits back and keeps your mouth shut until Jesus comes, and at the end of the day, it'll all work out, and you certainly aren't going to be keeping score. But it's very difficult to see things our way, which is why I said last week, it's impossible for you really to have a marriage that's going to thrive without a relationship with Christ, because the two become what? One flesh. Ashley's issue is my issue. My issue is Ashley's issue. It is our issue. You know, I've had at times people that will ask me to officiate a wedding. And they'll say, for whatever reason, you know, we're going to keep things separate. I'll have my bank account. She'll have her bank account. It's like, okay, you've already set yourself up for failure. It's yours and mine. Until you're ready to get to the point that everything is ours, including your disagreements, you're never really going to thrive in your relationship. And it's very difficult to maintain peace in the home. You know, I heard a story about a young couple that they had a lot of conflict at home, and they got to the point they were giving each other the silent treatment. Have you been there before? So they had the silent treatment, and they go to bed, and he had an early flight that he needed to catch up early in the morning. So he needed to be up at 5 a.m., but she's used to waking him up, but it's the silent treatment. So he just decided to write her a note, stuck it by the bed, reminding her that he needed woken up at 5 a.m. for the early morning flight. So he gets up and he looks right away and it's 9 a.m. and he's livid, like ready to throw something livid. And as he's jumping out of bed, going to find his wife, he looks over at the note and the paper said, it's 5 a.m., wake up. You're never going to win with that kind of stuff, right? You know, men are not equipped for those kind of contests, unfortunately. Right? Now, fighting, this is all just introduction. Fighting is you know, it's going to happen in the relationship. And you know, the Bible says, it's not even like the huge blow-ups at times. If you're married, sometimes it's just flipping your mouth off just a little bit. Which is why the Bible says, reckless words do what? Pierce like a sword. Look at the person next to you and say this, that's when the fight started. That's when the fight started. When I got home last night, my wife demanded that I take her somewhere expensive. So we went to the gas station. And that's where the fight started. So I decided I'd take her to a restaurant. And the waiter asked me for my order. I said, I'll have a strip steak, medium rare, please. To which they said, are you worried about the mad cow? He said, no, she can order for herself. And that's where the fight started. So we got home and we're flipping through the TV channels silently there. She asks, what's on TV? To which I said, dust. And that's where the fight started. Christmas came around, and I decided to buy my mother-in-law a cemetery plot as a Christmas gift. The next year, I didn't get her a gift, and she asked me why I didn't purchase anything, to which I said, because she didn't use the gift last year. And that's where the fight started. I asked her, where do you want to go for your anniversary? She said, somewhere warm. I want to see my face melt in sweet appreciation. Somewhere I haven't been in a very long time, to which I said, how about the kitchen? And that's where the fight started. I went shopping with her to buy some new business shirts, but found that the largest size they had for me was still too tight. So I asked my wife, where do we go from here? And she says, straight to the gym. So that's where the fight started. Usually it's not like you just wake up one day and you're ready to fight. A lot of times it's just little reckless things that we say. Even the great evangelist, America's pastor, Billy Graham. They thought they were going to get him in an interview, and they said, talk to me about conflict in your relationship with Ruth. Have you ever thought about divorce? To which he said, I certainly have never thought of divorce, but we've considered murder a few times. Right? And so there are going to be things that come up in relationships, and I'm not talking about murder. But when you get married, you don't lose your individuality, right? We maintain that in our relationships, and now we work through and we resolve conflict together. So how do we do it, right? How do we do it? And what I want to do today is just walk you through seven practical steps. Seven practical steps, not to avoid conflict, but how do you walk through conflict in a marriage, how you walk through conflict in any type of relationship. You say, well, Zach, you sound like an expert. Well, I'm still figuring it out, okay? I'm growing just like you're growing in my relationship with Ashley. And by God's grace, we're growing together. But I have found that there are some things that work and some that I'm still growing in. But number one, write this down. If you are not a Christian, become one. Okay, if you're not a Christian, you're going to need a relationship with Jesus if you're going to work through a marriage in a way that's going to be healthy. If you're going to have a marriage that's on a foundation that'll last. You know, before commencing Jesus' public ministry, he was a carpenter, and he understood the power of things being constructed, and he understood that things could be torn apart. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 1, it says this, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." So even if the Lord doesn't build the marriage, you can work very hard and get nowhere. "Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain." And when you look at the pressure in our culture, you look at the difficulty, you look at the strife, you look at how politics and the entertainment industry and news is essentially pitting people up against each other. They used to say it this way. They said, if it bleeds, it leads. So let's find ways to pit people up against each other and create strife. And honestly, politics is typically about hating someone, and you've got the answers, you got to hate this person, you got to, like, they just, all they're doing is pitting people up against each other. It's all around us in our culture, and it can bleed into our relationships if you're not careful. But the difference is God is building something in a marriage. God is the foundation of the marriage. Maybe you're here today and you don't have faith in Christ. Or maybe you're here and you're a Christian, your spouse isn't, you're praying for them, and they're either here or you sent them a video and you're like, you should listen to this. The reality is you'll never have a relationship with a spouse that's good and godly and something that's going to last if you're not committed to the foundation being Christ. I said last week that a marriage is built with two people that are great forgivers. Two people that are great servants coming into a relationship with one another. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, he said, "No longer will you be two, but you will become one." Marriage is a spiritual institution. Regardless of what a court would decree, regardless of what society may permit it to look like, God had the first word on marriage, and he will have the final word on marriage. And in between the first and in between the final, there's nothing that's open to interpretation. And his best is that a man leaves his father and mother and be united with his wife. And a male and a female united together in one covenant called marriage for one lifetime, meaning forever. That's his blueprint. That's his best. And yet we are where we are in our nation. But if you're not a Christian, if you're going to have a work through conflict and have a relationship that's going to stand the test of time, number one, you need to be a follower of Christ. Secondly, it's very important that you talk to God about your conflict. Before you even talk to your spouse about the disagreement, ask the question, is this something that I've taken to God in prayer? Is this a care that I've cast upon him? Or is it quick that you're ready to jump into the relationship and point the finger instead of picking up the mirror? There are many times in your relationship with Christ that when you take a conflict to God, instead of seeing the issue in the other person, he's quick to remind you of the area in your heart that contributed to the issue. And even at times, the issue is not the issue, you're the issue. And so, secondly, if you have a relationship with Christ, you've got to take it to God. You've got to talk to him about the conflict in your relationship. I don't know why, but sometimes we feel like, you know, we have this idea that we can do this without God. And it's just my issue with my spouse, and I'll leave God out of the equation. And all of a sudden, the one becomes two. It's my issue and her issue, and all of a sudden, God's out of the equation. He's like, what happened to oneness in this? And so you've got to talk to God about conflict. The Bible says we're to pray about everything, right? We're to pray about everything. James chapter 4, verse 1, we'll go back. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Now, verse 2 says this, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. And you do not have because you do not ask God. James is addressing the problem with conflict. He says that there are times that you don't have the answer because you haven't taken time to pose the question to God. Sometimes the issue that you see is actually really not the issue at hand. And God has a unique way before you jump into the discussion with the spouse to reshape your perspective. Many times we just see it as an eye-to-eye issue, and when you take it to God in prayer, at times what he does is he gives you an elevated perspective of what's taking place. And sometimes you're the issue, it's not even the other person. So have you taken it to God in prayer? Oftentimes when conflict occurs, when we're looking at other people to meet needs in our lives that only God can meet. God can meet. Some people, even as Christians, they expect that their spouse has to meet the ability to meet every need that you have. But can I remind you that when Ashley married me, she married a spouse, she didn't marry a savior. When I married Ashley, I married a spouse, I didn't marry a savior. Say, my spouse is a spouse and is not a savior. When you can get that from here into here, it'll change your perspective at times, because many times as you're growing in your relationship with your spouse, there's this false expectancy. There's this idea that, like, all of a sudden I married this absolutely perfect person that's going to compliment me in every way, and every desire and every need and every whatever that I have is perfectly going to be satisfied in them as a spouse. And you have like a savior complexity. She didn't die on a cross for you. He didn't die on a cross for you. And by God's grace, we're all still learning to grow in unconditional love. We're all growing in a heart of, what does it look like to serve? So we're following Jesus, but we didn't marry a savior. We married a spouse that is imperfect and is growing, just as you are imperfect and are growing. God is the great need meter, and your spouse is going to help along the way. But there is no other person at times that's going to be able to meet the longing and the desire that you have within your heart than God. And when you find that, everything that your spouse brings into the equation is a blessing. But I don't look at a marriage as two very incomplete people come together and all of a sudden they're complete. I believe you are created in the image of God, uniquely you. And all of a sudden, God brings into the equation somebody that's created in his image that's uniquely your spouse. And the two become one flesh, and it's not two people that are half people coming together. It's two whole people that are coming together, and you're growing in your relationship. And so you've got to be able to take those things to God and ask the question this: how do I know if I'm expecting my spouse to meet needs in my life that only God can meet? God built within you a desire to know him, a desire to have a relationship with him. And when you come into relationship with your spouse, you're growing and knowing and all of those types of things. But I just want to remind you that they're a spouse. They're not a savior. And many times when anger surfaces, it's a red flag that there are unmet needs in the relationship. You're growing dissatisfied. And James says these fights, this quarreling, many times it's connected to the fact that you haven't talked to God about it. Now, number three is you work through disagreements in relationships. You need to analyze the conflict. Now, when you hear analyze the conflict, I want you to think that there's not a ton of emotion that's going on in the moment. You really have to think about it. You have to pray about it. You've got to process it, right? You're not just like flying off, you know, the radar, you know, with your emotion. But you're really taking time and asking the Holy Spirit, what's really going on here? Help me analyze the issue that I'm going through. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Jesus said, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" This is a great portion of scripture to be reminded of when you're handling conflict. Because the Bible, and it's just brilliancy, understands human nature. That it's very easy to overlook our issues, which is why the comparison trap is a trap. It's very easy to overlook our own issues and spot the issues in other people. And honestly, it's very easy to spot people that have the same issues as you because it's deflecting, right? So the Bible says, why, if this represents the speck, and I'm having a conversation with my spouse about an issue, whatever the issue is, the conflict, the disagreement, or whatever, you're like, look at that. If I could just get her to see the issue. If I could just get her to see that she's wrong and I'm right, and if I could just get her to see, and you're constantly focusing on the other issue, but the Bible is saying this. It says many of the times, here's what's happening, is you're going like this. And you're focused on that issue, and it's like, hello? It's like the 450-pound person that's trying to describe to the 200-pound person how to get healthy. You should eat your salad. You should exercise. You should stop drinking water. And a 400-pound person is like, hey, and this person's like, if that's true, then why ain't it working for you, right? And so the Bible's like, why are you analyzing other people's issues and speaking to other people's issues when you got your own stuff going on? I said last week, two key things to remember as we're in this series. Number one, you didn't marry a person, perfect person, right? And number two, you're not so hot yourself. And so before you really start scrutinizing, talk to God about the issues, right? But then take some time to analyze what's really going on. Say, Holy Spirit, would you search my heart? Jesus is saying, don't just attack your spouse, inspect yourself. It's so much easier attacking your spouse. It actually feels a lot better to attack your spouse. Inspecting yourself, not so exciting. Inspecting yourself takes a bit of time to say, Holy Spirit, search my heart. So you got to be a Christian. You got to talk to God about the issue. But you do need to analyze the conflict and ask the question, what am I contributing to where we're at? Am I unrealistic? Am I overly sensitive? Am I trying to get them to meet needs that only God can meet? Am I too sensitive? Am I too impatient? All of those things. Jesus said in 1 John 1:8, if you claim to be without sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not within you. So take time and ask the Holy Spirit to analyze the conflict, because what happens in marital counseling when people come to Ashley and I, and usually the problem's a little bit bigger at that point in time. What happens many times is they're at the point where they're saying it's the other person's issue, and they haven't even analyzed the conflict. And all of a sudden, you ask the question, like, this is never 100% of an issue on one person and zero on another. And you ask the person that thinks they've contributed zero to it, what do you believe that you've contributed to this crisis? And they look at you like, never really thought about that. And so you have to do that on the front end. Analyze the conflict. What did I contribute to this issue? Remember, it's not her problem or your problem. It's our problem, and the intent is that we're working through it together. Number four, schedule a conversation. All of us are busy, right? Does anybody just say, you know what? I'm excited for this week, just don't have anything to do. Everybody's busy. Everybody has a full schedule. Your priorities are what you make time for, and if you're going to work through conflict, you're going to have to schedule a conversation. You're never going to solve conflict on the run. You're never going to be driving, and it's like, hey, by the way, after church, we're heading down to the Mexican place for lunch, and you're driving down after 10, you're like, honey, just have a quick question for you. Whoop-bam! You know, and it's like, you drop the bomb on them in the car, and you're like, where'd this come from? I just wanted a burrito, you know? Nobody likes to be blindsided. Nobody likes to think like you're just having a good old time, and then all of a sudden, hey, let's talk about, boom, you know? So schedule a conversation. Maybe I would call it a peace treaty or a peace conference. Sit down and talk. Act like a smart, intelligent person that's not going to fly off in the midst of emotion. Just say, hey, can we sit down and devote some time to that? And try to work through conflict. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, look at what Jesus said. It says, therefore, if you're offering a gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister, or husband or wife, person there, right, has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go and be reconciled to them and then come and offer your gift. The Bible teaches that it's very important, even in the church, for a husband and a wife to work through your issues. You don't just act like nothing's going on. You don't just, oh, here's my gift. I'm going to tithe in the offering. I'm going to serve the kids. I'm going to do. The Bible's saying, like, you actually need to take time and to talk through things. There's been times in my relationship with Ashley that knowing, you know, you can't get up and teach from the Bible and really be wrestling with something behind the scenes. And there's been times that we've been, you know what, before we go to bed, we got to talk about this. Because it wouldn't be good to get up in the morning and preach without resolving that. And so it's very important that you sit down and you take time and you have that conversation. You have that conversation if you're going to have peace in your relationship. 1 Peter says that at times conflict between a husband and wife that's not resolved will actually hinder the effectiveness of your prayers. And so it's very important that you take time and talk. It's you work through things. You find the right place and the right time and the right context. You know, got young kids, can't have a ton of interruptions, right? If you know your spouse well enough, there are good times to talk about things. There are times that you're like, I'd be a moron if I tried to bring this up in the morning. And some of you, you'd be like, I'd be like a moron if I brought this up at night. You know each other, right? Sit down and have those conversations. Number five, establish some ground rules. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Speaking of conflict and talking, it says, but now you must also rid yourself of these such things, anger, rage, malice, slander, and any type of filthy language from your lips. Write this down if you're taking notes. Use your words to attack the problem, not each other. Use your words to attack the problem, not each other. Doesn't mean you're always going to agree perfectly. But reckless words pierce like a sword. And it's very difficult to take words back, right? Somebody once described it. They said, you know, reckless words is like going on the top of a mountain on a windy day with a feathered pillow. And you rip it open, you throw the feathers in the air. It's absolutely impossible to capture those words back. And reckless words are like that. They pierce like a sword. And you can't take them back. So what are some ground rules? Just these are practical pastoral things, okay? Number one, never use divorce as a threat to solve conflict. If you don't, I'm going to. You can't take that back. Never use divorce as a threat to solve conflict. Because when you do, all of the sudden, you open the door. I mean, and I want to be careful with how I say this, because some of you have done this before. And by God's grace, he will help you forgive. He may even wipe that memory away. But when you threaten divorce, here's what you're doing in the relationship. You're like, hey, enemy, come on in. I'll leave the door open. If you don't, I'm going to divorce you. If you don't, I'm going to leave. All of a sudden, you've cracked the door. Who cracked the door? Devil didn't crack the door. Don't blame it on the devil. Who cracked the door? Your words cracked the door open. Because you threatened them with that type of language. If you don't. And so that's kind of like a ground rule. Think peace treaties, right? What do countries do at times? We're like, hey, we're going to dismantle the nuclear weapons, right? Let's dismantle that one and just say, we're not going to use that as an option in our conversations, in our disagreements. Don't use divorce as a threat. Now, if you do this, I'm gone. Number two, ground rules, don't come with an angry temper. Okay? If you're angry, it's very quick to use language that maybe isn't even inappropriate, but it's the tone in which you say it, right? And it's very important that when you talk through conflict, you don't have an angry temper. You're not tearing one another down with your words. Jesus said that every idle word that men speak, you'll eventually give account for those words. And so be cautious with speaking when you're frustrated and you're angry. It's very hard, like Ephesians 25 or 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Don't try to have difficult conversations when you're frustrated in the moment. So that's number two. Number three, don't be spiteful. Say spiteful. What's this? You're reaching back in the laundry bag of history and you're saying things like you always, or you remember when, or see, I know you've never changed. Like you're reaching back in. All that you're doing right then is you're basically, in essence, the reaffirmation of the voice of the enemy in that person's life, right? By God and his grace, he forgives and he forgets. Don't be the one that's trying to bring up what the enemy remembers. You know, it's like you're nothing more than just partnering with the lie of the enemy. When you get back into, well, see, that's how you used to be. That's how you always are. Like reaching back and being spiteful. You'll never get anywhere that way. Being spiteful at times is also like in a marriage or in a relationship, you know that magic button to push with your spouse. You're like, if I just go in this one area and hit that button, man, it's going to show her who's in charge in this, you know, boom, you hit that button. You know what that sensitive thing is to talk about. And so you can't be spiteful knowing what the button is to push in the relationship. So you got to have some ground rules as you're talking. Two more. Number six, switch your focus. Switch your focus. When you're working through conflict, many times your spouse in your mind is the issue as you initiate the discussion. But do your best to ask the Holy Spirit, what part of the issue did I bring to it? Help me switch the focus. Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests. This is like impossible to do without Jesus. Not looking to your own interests. You don't always, because I want and I need. Not. It's not looking out for your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another have the same mindset as Christ. Jesus had authority, right? But he voluntarily put himself under another authority of the Father. He took upon himself the attitude of a servant. He got down on his knee and he modeled for us what does it look like in the context of relationship. Eye to eye, working things out. Last week I said that Eve was brought out of Adam's side, not out of his head so that man can dominate, not under his feet so that man could trample, but think out of the side, think partnership, think submission to one another, think love and concern and care. And as you work through, you've got to have a focus where you come to the conversation with a humble spirit, a submissive spirit, not standing for my rights and what I deserve and what I need and what you did and all of that type of stuff, but out of a heart of love and a heart of humility. Amen? It's when you say, I'm sorry. It's when you say, I've been thinking about myself too much. Many times when you can come to the conversation and you're able to acknowledge your contribution to the issue, it makes it a lot easier. Ashley's brilliant with this. I mean, she's amazing when it comes to this. Me, not so much. I'm still growing. But she's very quick as we're talking about things to say, here's where, as I've searched my heart and the Holy Spirit's revealed it to me, here's what I've brought to this. And then you work it out together. So eye to eye, right? It's not this. It's not, I'm just going to shut up and let them win again. It's not like I'll dance around this and boom, right? It's not any of that. It's not, oh, yeah, you did it again. I can't believe. Remember 3 years ago when you did the same thing? It's none of that. It's humbly coming, looking each other in the eye, and working it out. It can be worked out. Amen? Okay, there are way too many things in life to, you just can't, every issue is not supposed to be an issue, all right? We're adults, we choose to forgive and we move on. And then finally, ask for advice. Proverbs 15:20 or 32 says, those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Ask for advice, ask a mentor, ask the Holy Spirit. Get into the Bible. We don't try to do tons of marital counseling. We will sit down and work through crises. And many times what we'll do is if people really want to get help, we will help them get to a professional Christian marriage counselor. If they can't afford it, we'll help pay for that. But in pastoral ministry, you know, pastors try to be professional counselors. I'm not a professional counselor. She's not a professional counselor. The Holy Spirit can give us wisdom if it, many times it's a spiritual issue and if you can deal with the spiritual issue. But many times, you know, what people want is they want to sit down, they want to just vomit their issues, go home, and keep doing the same thing. And that's really difficult as a pastor because you can tell them what they're supposed to do based on what God's word says to do, and then they walk out and do the opposite, you know? And so we try to utilize people that are Christian counselors. If you have a legal issue, I'm not going to act like I'm a lawyer. I'm going to say, go find a lawyer, right? I'm not a mechanic. I'm going to say, go get your car fixed at a place. If you need financial advice, you go to a CPA. If you get to the point in a marriage where it's like we have tried over and over and over, we need advice. Pause right here, and I wasn't planning on saying this now, but I will. I was going to mention this in the future, but we're bringing, I think I may have insinuated this, we're bringing in some premier leaders that will be here at the end of August that are going to do a marriage seminar for two sessions on a Saturday. He's going to preach on a Sunday. Pastor Tony Paolo and his wife Susan, they're incredible people that have done marriage coaching and things like that for 25 years. They've been in pastoral ministry. They have a very vibrant church. They're good friends of ours over the years. So they'll be here in August. That'll be a great resource for you. But there's Christian counselors that can help in crisis situations. But if your marriage is sick and you need advice, then you can get help. And by God's grace, we're all growing together. Amen? And so there are steps to take if you're going to resolve conflict, and you need to be humble enough to be able to walk through those steps together. As the worship team comes today, and we're going to pray. You know, it's interesting, last week and then this week again. You know, last week was probably one of the first weeks that I was preaching. I mean, I saw people shedding a lot of tears and laughing hysterically at the same time. Because to some degree, it's like you're pulling maybe a Band-Aid off of a wound that hasn't been healed. And people realize there are things we need to work through. Because a Band-Aid's a temporary fix. It's not a permanent solution, right? So there are things that you need to work through. You know, using humor, to me, helps kind of disarm people, because I don't want our church to ever feel like it's a place where it's like, hey, come hear what Pastor Zach has to say on marriage because he's got it all figured out and I'm an idiot, right? It's just, we're all growing. God's word is what God's word is, but we can have healthy marriages. You don't have the opportunity to be around our house all of the time. Please don't take up that opportunity. You're welcome to stop by and say hello and to visit. But if you were to ask my kids, who know our home very well, our house is not a place that is filled with a ton of strife. It's not a place that's filled with a ton of confusion. You wouldn't walk in during the middle of the day and feel like you just walked into an environment where you can just cut the air with a knife, right? Our home is to be a place that's like a refuge, to be a place that's peaceful. It should be a place where you're not stepping on eggshells and then all of a sudden there's a blow up. But we need the help of the Holy Spirit, right? There are people in my life that over the years that I've looked to, that I've seen that have had very healthy marriages, and I've looked at like, Holy Spirit, what are some things that they're doing that I can do? Because I never want to be filled with pride in my heart to think I know what to do. And so God, even at times, will give you a picture of someone. He'll say, you know what? Look at how he honors his wife. Look at how she respects him. And how can you emulate certain relationships? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you really random things to do as you're growing in your relationship. But the bottom line is, number one, you'll never make it through without Jesus. Everything else in this world is going to mock, ridicule the very essence of one man and one woman joining together, becoming one flesh for the rest of their lives. That's foolishness to this world. But the Bible is our blueprint, right? And by God's grace, when we put him first, we have that foundation. We have his word. God's word is so incredibly powerful. You don't have to live your life by destruction and figure it out. You can live by instruction. You don't have to make mistakes that other people are making when you have God's word. But you got to take time and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. How am I growing in this season of my life as a husband? Or how are you growing in the season of your life as a wife? And things change with seasons. You have kids then, all of a sudden you're an empty nester, and then you have great... Life is changing all of the time. And I have found that even in those seasons, the Holy Spirit is helping me grow in different ways in my relationship with Ashley, and I'm sure it's the same with her as well with me. But I want to take time and just pray together. Amen? Because we can take our matters to God, and he can give us the wisdom that we need. And so let's stand together today. If you're married, grab the hand of a spouse. Let's just take time and pray. If you're single today, God has given you some tools to work out conflict in other relationships, but let's just ask the Lord right now. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you looked at your disciples and you said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Lord, it wasn't just personal peace for them, but it was peace that was to transition into their relationships. It was peace that was to transition into their home. Father, I pray that you would help us work through our disagreements. Lord, even at times that we don't see things eye to eye, I thank you, God, that you give us the grace to not be disagreeable people. Lord, help us see our issues. Father, forgive us for the times that we point the finger before we choose to hold up the mirror. And Spirit of God, we ask that you would reveal to us what's going on in our relationships, Lord. Lord, if there are people here today that there are conversations that are to be had, issues that they're working through, Father, give them the humility and heart to say, Holy Spirit, what have I contributed to where we're at today? Give them the faith and the confidence and the humility to be able to acknowledge that to their spouse. Father, I thank you that you give us the ability, like your word says, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Father, forgive us for times that we've been angry. Forgive us for times that we interject so quickly. Give us the desire to want to choose to listen. Father, help us see beyond the natural, the speck in the other person's eye, and to see the spiritual things that are at work in our relationships. God, all of our desire, if we're here today and are married, is to have a relationship that reflects Christ's love for the church. Unconditional, sacrificial, willingly ready to just have the other person's interests in mind. As your word says, God, you love the world, that you gave your very best. You gave Jesus. Father, help us to model that type of sacrificial love in our marriages. Holy Spirit, we take time to acknowledge that we can't do it without you. We can't work it out without you involved. And so, Father, we ask for just the grace to continue to grow in our relationship with one another. Father, I pray that we would see our spouse not as the opponent or the enemy. Father, I pray we would see them as our best friend. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've thought things were my issue or her issue, but God, give us the understanding to say it's our issue together. And by God's grace, we're going to walk through it. Thank you, Lord, that you brought a spouse into our lives to guide and to correct and to complement one another. I thank you, Lord, for the value that Ashley brings into my life. I thank you that many times the Holy Spirit's voice sounds very similar to her voice. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we would always see our spouse as our teammate, that we would see our spouse as our very best friend, that we would see our spouse as an extension of the voice of the Holy Spirit that just affirms and challenges us to grow. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our marriages. Father, I pray that there would be intimacy in our marriages, that there would be oneness in our marriages. Father, that we would be humble at heart, quick to forgive, and just open to what your Spirit wants to do in our lives. As your eyes are closed this morning, I just want to read a word that someone shared with me this morning that just felt like the Spirit of God spoke to him, and he wrote it down and he shares this. He says, he's just praying. He felt like the Spirit of God was saying this morning, my love is insurmountable. It cannot be passed over. My children, you will not be passed over either. I will take you to the mountaintop and I will walk with you through the valley. My love will make a way where there is no way. And what seems insurmountable to you is an easy thing for me. There's no power on earth that can overcome my love for you. There's no power within my children that destroys the work of the enemy. And nothing shall overcome my love. Here's the key phrase that stood out to me. Remain in me, and I will destroy all of the works of the enemy in your life. Victory will be your song, and redemption will be your reward. Father, help us to remain or to abide in you. Lord, your word says, apart from you, we can do nothing. In our marriages, Lord, apart from us, abiding in you, we can't do it. And so, Father, as we remain in you, I thank you, God, that you cause us to bear fruit in every area of our lives, in particular, our marriages. Father, thank you that your love is insurmountable. God, you love us so much. You care so much about us. just lift your hands to heaven and just thank God for all that he's done for you. When you have an appreciation of what God has done for you, it quickly takes care many times of the issues that you have with your spouse. God's love is so incredible. It's so amazing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you became sin for me. Thank you that you suffered so that I don't have to suffer. You provided a way to reconcile me to God. Thank you, Lord, that you cleanse us, you forgive us, that you're consistent, you're stable, you're constant, never changing. You modeled for us everything that we need as an example in our relationships. And then you empower us by your Holy Spirit to live it out. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved today. I want to make sure that I give you today an opportunity. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord and you want to receive Jesus, you want to repent of sin and receive Christ today and become a Christian. If that's you today, before we dismiss in a minute, would you just acknowledge that by raising a hand and just saying, Jesus, would you come into my life today? Is there anybody here today? Anybody here? And then here's how we're going to close today. In a minute, I'm just going to pray a prayer of dismissal. And then I'm going to ask you if you're married and your spouse is next to you, if there is something maybe that's unresolved today, and today's the day that you're going to take the step and you're going to schedule that conversation. I'm going to pray and dismiss people. And I'm just going to ask you, maybe you just want to come to the altar together and you want to initiate that in prayer. Just take a minute and say, Holy Spirit, we acknowledge this is something that we need to work on. And by God's grace, we're going to work it out this week. And you can come to the altar and do that. And God forbid we would ever be the type of church. I hate people like this. So hopefully this isn't you. Everybody's growing. God forbid we would be the type of church that you sit back in your seat and you think, well, I wonder what they're going through. You're nothing more than this. The Bible says you're like a whitewashed tomb. Jesus had the harshest words possible for people like that in Scripture. Wonder what their issue is. Don't be like that. People aren't looking for a judgmental church, and we're not that way. And so be quick to come forward and just acknowledge that before the Lord, and I believe God will help you. Amen? Father, I pray your blessing upon every person that's here today. Thank you that you enable us by your word, to be instructed by your word, to be empowered by your spirit, to have marriages that are thriving, not just surviving. We thank you, Lord, for your help. And we ask, Lord, for just the grace to do what we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you would like to further connect with us, you can find us online at scaccesschurch.com or on any social media platform. Have a blessed week.